everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob engineering and producing the show. Bob's been with me now probably about 5 weeks as we made the change over here with our new ownership doing local news talk from 6 a.m. to 7 o'clock in the evening. And, of course, we're right where we have been. Actually, we'll be celebrating 8 full years of the Buckmaster Show at the end of this year, and then we'll begin year 9 of Buckmaster in January. So it's been a good run, and we're going to continue. It is, of course, Friday, December the 7th, 2018. It is the 77th anniversary of the Japanese attack on 7 military installations in the Hawaiian Islands. Of course, most prominent, most famous, Pearl Harbor. It's a day that I hope Americans will never forget. We are live weekdays during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI. We have our worldwide live listening and all of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Actually, we've got pretty much every show since we began the program on January 3rd, 2011, posted at buckmastershow.com. Our media partners I want to thank on Friday. If I could, I would thank them every day, but sometimes time is a concern. Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, thanks for your support through the years.
Absolutely.
TucsonSentinel.com will be celebrating year number, starting 9, I believe. Am I close?
I think we're going to be going into our 10th year. Our 9th birthday come the middle of January.
Because you guys preceded us, the Buckmaster Show, by a year or so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're getting to go in there coming up on 9-10 years. Green Valley News, Sahul Rita Sun. Thank you to Dan Shear and his group there. Tucson Media Group, thank you to Jim Ninsel. The portfolio of Tucson-based publications with Tucson Media Group, of course, and does include Inside Tucson Business and Tucson Weekly. Our Friday Focus interview today, Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild is with us, who is concluding the third year of his 4-year term. Mayor, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. How are you doing today?
Doing very well, and I was just kind of reflecting as I thought back to January of 2011. You were one of my first guests on the radio show, and you were basically announcing that you were going to be a candidate for mayor.
Yeah, no, I just this last week completed my 7th year, so the 3 of us have been sort of on
yeah.
a similar path.
Yeah.
Doing this for a while.
Yeah. And while I'm there, have you made any decisions about a third term, standing for election for a third 4-year term?
No decisions today, Bill. I would anticipate that I'll have to throw in if I'm going to do that here pretty soon.
Yeah, I would think so.
It's coming up, isn't it?
It is.
It's next year.
It is.
Who's up? You're up.
It is the mayor's election along with
Shirley Scott.
Ward 4, which is Shirley Scott, Ward 1, which is Rahina Romero, and Ward 2, which is Paul Cunningham.
Okay. I do want to acknowledge you just came from the funeral for Deputy United States Marshal White.
Yes.
Very sad occasion.
Very sad occasion. A young man with a wife and 4 children, age 14 to 7. Mm-hmm. Huge community turnout, lots of support, lots of law enforcement, but a lot of members of the community. It was in the TCC exhibit hall. And then, of course, you know, not for probably today or while we're mourning, but, you know, again, a kind of a combination of mental illness and guns and problems that we're really not addressing the way we need to.
Mm. You know, going back to the election coming up next year, the voters of Tucson in this past election had a little bit of a say, didn't they, on should we keep these odd-year elections? People like it in the city of Tucson.
Well, they do. The state legislature has once again passed a law requiring cities to have even-year elections, but this time they nuanced it a little by saying that if your city election can come within 25% of the most recent gubernatorial election, then you can keep your city election. Now, the fact that we had record turnout for our last gubernatorial election, this past election just occurred, will make it quite a challenge to meet that threshold. And then I suspect we will be getting a letter from the Attorney General telling us that we need to change over, and if we don't, we'll lose all our money. And then I suspect, given what the voters said, and because it is a charter, that we'll be back in court and going to visit our friends at the likely the Arizona Supreme Court.
And another instance of the city of Tucson going round and round in court with the legislature over local control issues, essentially.
It really is. And, you know, why the state is so concerned about that, because there are really policy arguments on both sides, and certainly on those places where there are policy arguments on both sides, it, there's not harm being done on either side. Why the state feels they have to come in and dictate, particularly on a local election, but we'll probably get a chance to find out again.
Are they just poking at us? Is that what this is?
Well, you know what, Dylan, in all fairness, they like to poke now at cities.
Yeah.
There was a
not just Tucson.
Yeah, no, there was a time when, you know, I think we felt, maybe justifiably so, that they were poking at Tucson. But they found new targets. Phoenix is probably one of their favorites now. Flagstaff, Sedona, Bisbee, even Mesa from time to time, and Tempe. But, yeah, there is a philosophy in the state legislature. Now, you know, the majority is a lot closer now.
Yeah.
But certainly in that past majority, that cities should not have any autonomy, perhaps beyond zoning decisions. And that's a fight that, by the way, is kind of going on all over the country. Arizona, of course, is always kind of out front on those particular views. This is just a one of what we hope we don't see many this year at the legislature.
Let's go to the live line, 790-2040. Jim Kelly has called us. Mayor, if you would just grab that headset right there and slip that on, and we'll be able, you will be able to hear Mr. Kelly. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Bill. Thank you. Mr. Mayor, I think you've been doing a great job, and I'm very pleased with the fact that you are representing all of us in Tucson and not just your party. I do want to say my perennial complaint about Tucson, and that's street lighting. Now, there's got to be a way that we can meet the requirements of the Dark Skies Initiative and still get our high crime impact areas well lit. Can we do it? Can we do it with a bond? Do we have enough money to do it on our own?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, one of the things that we did this last year is we went to all LED lighting for all our street lights, which is helping us certainly save money and put some conservation efforts in place. That doesn't include more lighting. That includes the lighting we have now. The passage of the parks bond will be somewhat helpful because now we're going to be able to light our sports fields. And I think having those parks lit at night, it can be helpful. When we're talking about particular areas, I think what we would need to do is study more, and I can't say we have, where those high crime areas are that you may be concerned about and see if we can do more in the way of whether it's lighting, patrol, or whatever it may be. And I can tell you that from time to time, or more than from time to time, our police are watching where the hot spots are and are shifting officers to try to make sure those areas are safer.
Here you go, Dylan.
On that, I think we should mention real quick the reason for trying to maintain dark skies in Tucson is that having dark skies here actually is very valuable to us. That's what helps support our astronomy and optical industries here.
You know, we do have a dark skies ordinance, and whenever there's additional lighting, for whatever reason it might be put in, we are cognizant of it. If we're not cognizant of it, we're made cognizant of it. And but the good thing about that is with the new technologies with lighting, the way they can control with computers and different technologies, we can do more lighting that keeps the light below the sky.
Yeah, it's shining down on the things we want to light up and not lighting up the sky.
Correct.
Dylan, one of your Facebook friends had a good question for the mayor.
Yeah, well, you just brought up the parks bond, and J.D. Wallace floated the question, does the passage of that parks bond compared with the failure of the county bond so significantly, does that give the city a little bit of space to push for some more annexations for some of the areas who might want to have more extensive services, road repair, et cetera?
You know, I think it does open a conversation. We've started preliminary conversations, particularly with the manager and I, and, you know, then we will, you know, go to council, or really even before you go to council, you kind of have to go out to the areas. But there's a map, and the map shows the people that voted for the road bond and the people that didn't. And on the it was not a large part of the unincorporated areas that voted for the road bond, but it seemed like the, oh, I'm going to call it the lower northeast foothills group did.
There was an area outside the city where there were people who were slightly more in favor of that.
Yeah, and so there is a mechanism because, I mean, one of the reasons we support annexation is because it brings in state shared revenue. And we haven't done any numbers yet, but I think we need to, is look and see what, depending on how large an area is, what kind of state shared revenue there is there. And I think you can go to the people, we've done this in other annexations where we've said, look, we'll assure additional police or we'll assure additional fire. We can say we can take the first share of that money and pave your roads, your residential roads. You know, thereafter, your money's going into the general fund because you're not part of the city. But there is an opening for that.
But it has to, I would say in most cases, that it has to pencil out properly in favor of the city, right? We can't take on enormous areas outside the city where there's not going to be a whole lot of tax revenue coming in because of it.
Correct. And in fact, in our annexation ordinance, it says before we can even go out on an annexation, we have to do that math to show that there'll be, in the long run, a benefit to the city. But I think there's an opening there, and there have been some preliminary discussions.
Were you surprised by the margin on the parks? It was pretty much overwhelming. Wasn't it 60-some percent?
No, we didn't quite make the 60 mark this time. I think it was 56, 57.
Oh, okay.
But it was a good margin. You know, we've been working really hard for a number of years to reestablish the credibility of the city. And that's a slow process. In some cases, you'll never get there. But
with some people, I'm sure.
With some people. Uh-huh. But, you know, we started with our road bond, and we said, look, these are the roads we're going to pave. This is what we're going to spend. And we did it. We did every road on time, and we did it under budget. We could actually do a little more roads. Then we went out and did police and fire and roads again. And again, very specific schedules as to what we were going to do. Now, that's in process, probably about a year and a half into that, but we're staying on that.
We have building confidence.
Yeah, and we have a person who, by the way, that's her job every single day. Check, check, check. Are you there? Okay. So the parks, you know, when it comes to at least what we believe from polling we've looked at, when it comes to roads, when it comes to police and fire, people, before you ask them how you're going to pay for it, they're very much supportive. I mean, we want our roads. We want our police and fire. Parks polls well, but not nearly at the level that roads and police and fire do. So it was a bit of a risk to do it, but I think that additional built-in confidence, plus, quite frankly, our parks have suffered for a long time. When the big recession hit, parks always was at the bottom of the budget line. And in a lot of our parks need a lot of work. I think people saw that. But we also put together a really good plan. And again, it was, we're going to do this in this park and this year. Two very, I think, transformational things in the park bond, which may have driven it, was we sort of talked about a little bit, the sports field lighting. We're going to bring 80,000 more hours of playing time to the whole community. And these pathways and greenways, these off-road connections, which will allow people to get out and exercise, to bike, hopefully in some cases, to stay off the road and be safer. because that still remains an issue for us.
All right, let's take a break right here. Mona's Danish Bakery, the home of the Danish Kringle, is my favorite bakery in town. Instead of cookies this Christmas, you can make a Santa tingle. Leave him a treat from Mona's, the home of the Danish Kringle. I cannot take credit for that. Steve, chief baker and owner, for that little ditty.
Kudos.
Comes from Steve and the team up at Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mayor, have you been up there yet?
You know, I have between this time and last time. I don't know about Tim Steller. You could ask Dylan that.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan?
Dylan's still...
Have I been up there? I'm afraid not. I really need to. You know, every time I'm on your show, listening to you extol the virtues of this place.
You get hungry for a Danish kringle.
Yeah. It's good stuff, Dylan.
It is. And it seems excellent. Like the right kind of weather today, too.
It is. Oh, my goodness. This is a perfect day for a Danish kringle. Pick up one now. You'll probably eat half of it on the way home. Save the rest for Saturday morning tomorrow. I'm thinking of maybe a Danish kringle would be great for Christmas Eve morning or Christmas Day morning. Anyway, monasdanishbakery.com. There's also a link on my website, buckmastershow.com. We're so fortunate to have such great partners. All of them are listed at buckmastershow.com. More with the mayor if you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is our Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted local news and talk source. Mayor Jonathan Rothschild is with us, and I asked the mayor at the top of the interview about his decision, whether he would seek a third four-year term, and he told us that he's got a couple of weeks before he's got to put together a plan, I guess, if he's going to go for a third term. I want to wish you, by the way, happy Hanukkah to you and your family, Mayor.
Oh, thank you, Bill. I appreciate it. It's a time of year, just like for all the holidays, for everybody, whatever your beliefs may be, where you get your family together and hopefully have a lot to be thankful for, and certainly my family does this year, and so we're enjoying the season.
How about the Sunshine Mile? We saw that headline in the paper, a rebirth of the Sunshine Mile. What is that? What is the Sunshine Mile?
Well, the Sunshine Mile is Broadway between Euclid and Country Club. It is really on both sides, north and south side of the street, kind of what's going to be there after the rebuilding of Broadway. And that is an incredibly challenging project, probably one of the most challenging that was in the RTA plan, because I think most people believe, not everybody, believed that Broadway needed some widening because it is a major arterial through our community. But the question is what that widening was going to look like if you'd use the original RTA plan and you try to stay by it, but we got some dispensation. There wouldn't have been any retail along Broadway, and nobody really was for that when they gave it some thought. On the other hand, if you didn't do anything with it, you're left with the same traffic situation. Mm-hmm. So we have a confirmed plan for widening, and now the question is, as you do that widening, what remains? And the Sunshine Mile essentially is going to be probably almost like an overlay district, where there'll be certain spots that'll be kept for parking, certain spots that'll be kept for pedestrian areas and the like, and also some historic preservation. Where we're at right now on it is we're in the process of doing the condemnation, taking the buildings and taking down what needs to be taken down, preserving what we can preserve. And then our friends at Rio Nuevo, Fletcher McCusker, because that portion of Broadway is actually in the district, because it runs from downtown down to Elkhorn down to Park Mall, has offered to provide some assistance in taking in three areas that he's identified, or that I think we've all identified, that not only do we want preservation, but we want even a better facilities. One is what they call the historic Solot Plaza, if you remember where Tucson Tamale was, and that right there is one. One is some of the older
modern, what they call kind of the modernist era.
Yeah.
Mid-century modern.
Sort of. Thank you, Dylan. Kind of the mid-50s.
Yeah, some bungalows that we might be able to save. And then there's another building. And so we're working on all that, but it's moving along. I mean, to be fair with everybody, I think it's going to be a long process before Broadway is really dynamic again. And I think if we could be Rip Van Winkle, not sleep that long, but a number of years from now, wake up and see a much better Broadway. But in between now and then, there'll be a lot of digging and a lot of building.
What sort of timeline are we looking at now, basically, for the road to be rebuilt? I understand that, you know, dealing with the businesses alongside and, you know, creating new parking lots and things may even be a little bit longer. But where are we in this very long, drawn-out process?
I think, and don't hold me to the exact year, Dylan, because I don't have it in front of me, but I think the roadway itself is supposed to be done 2022, okay? So, you know, you're still 3 years to have the whole thing done. It may be a little quicker, but then you're right. It's once that roadway is done, who comes in and who builds and what do they build? Yeah. And some of it will stay, but there is an opportunity for investment. And I can tell you that there are a lot of folks, development-type folks in Tucson, who are looking at that now as an opportunity. as, oh, this is going to be a really nice road, and it's going to be a great place to put different businesses. So,
and that's an RTA project, not a city-specific project,
It is an RTA plan project. It's an RTA-funded project to the point of the RTA budget. If you go over that budget, it becomes a city responsibility, and we tried to be as clear as we could that we want to build this within the RTA budget. But then the city is responsible for the basically the administration, the building of it. And so that's how.
So the RTA is writing the checks, and the city is going to actually manage the project as it moves through construction.
That's everything.
Okay. And Dylan, do you realize where the whole sunshine idea comes from?
The
history.
Way back
there was
when
a Sunshine Club.
The Sunshine Club was essentially the sort of
Chamber of Commerce
tourism authority.
Right.
Back in the 40s and 50s, I've seen some of those great old advertisements.
Right.
The Sunshine Club would place in magazines, you know, across the country.
And they met, I believe, at the old El Conquistador Hotel was their kind of place for their meetings. So that's kind of, I think, how that whole Sunshine Mile developed. So.
Well, there you go.
There you go, Mayor. You might have learned a little Tucson history.
You know what I learned this week?
What'd you learn?
I learned this week, and do you know that Rita Road is named after Rita Hayworth?
No.
And that has all had to do with the whole Howard Hughes Raytheon story.
Okay.
See, look at that. Three pretty intelligent guys about Tucson.
Wow. Quick update. On the Benedictine Monastery that comes up in a couple of weeks before the council.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so great illustration of what our limitations are in the world. We have this beautiful monastery occupied by the Benedictine sisters, who are wonderful people, for all these years. And apparently there came a time when they decided they needed to move along. There's very few of them left. They don't have a retirement plan. And they went ahead and sold their property without really making it a public notice to a developer by the name of Ross Rolney for $6 million. And Ross had plans, originally, to put student housing there.
Six stories or something?
I think as high as eight at one time.
Wow, okay.
And to get to eight stories, he would have needed some rezoning. But to do five stories of student housing, he never had to come talk to us.
He could have just gone ahead and done that?
He could have just gone ahead and plowed it and done it. One of the other things that had happened was that the sisters had never really established historic status for the building. They had a plaque from the state, but it wasn't really anything that gave protection.
Well, even if they had, anybody could come along who bought it could knock the thing down if they wanted to, right?
Well, not if you have a certain historic status, but they didn't have that. And so, of course, when this got to be public knowledge, it caused an outcry.
Because it's a beautiful building. It was built, I think, around 1940, late 30s, a long country club for folks that don't know.
Yeah, it is a beautiful building. It has a beautiful chapter. It actually has a lot of space to it. Some of the building is not as nice. I mean, there are a lot of rooms where the nuns live.
Living quarters and
schools,
stuff,
But
the main
there.
Sanctuary is a really
beautiful.
Oh,
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's just a wonderful green-looking space in the middle of town.
It is, the whole space. So it happens to be within eyesight of Councilmember Kozacik's office, and so he took a personal interest.
Yes,
and so he has been negotiating with the developer for a number of months. Our Planning and Development Services Department has had some say in it, but the fact of the matter is, there's kind of these two, lines. One is, Ross can say, well, if you don't do what I want, I can just do whatever I want. Nobody's going to like that. And Steve can say, well, you know what? If that's what you want to do, but can't we do something better?
Right.
And if you don't, I think there was some sentiment of, Ross, you've lived in Tucson a long time.
You're not going to be the most popular person around town, right?
Yeah.
Unless you want to move out of town.
Yeah. And so anyway, I think what's coming to the council, and I've got some detail on it, but I don't have it here today.
Bottom line, what is coming?
I think what we're looking at is about 55 feet at the tallest, so five stories at the tallest, surrounded by three or four stories on the north and south side. But total preservation of the monastery building to be used for community use and to do a real preservation of some of the green space that's around there. I think that will not be – I know there's going to be people that are going to be objecting. There's a neighborhood plan that doesn't allow for a little bit of what they're asking for, so that's what we have to go through next. But one of the big benefits, and it's something that you have to be there, drive by closely, there's an old building that is boarded up on the north side of that property, just an old house. And
It's been boarded up forever.
Yeah. It was owned by the Riley family, if you remember the Riley funeral home family.
Yes.
And, you know, Mr. Riley passed away, Mrs. Riley passed away. That thing has sat there forever. Because the developer, as a result of how he was getting squeezed down, was going to need some more space for parking, he went and bought that property so that he can now use that for some parking or for some additional space. So we're getting another good out of it because that's going away. In fact, if we drive by it today, it may be already gone. But we'll see. You know, that's what that's why we have public hearings and we have votes, and we'll see what conditions are ultimately put on the monastery. But we do know there's going to be change there. I think we have a pretty good sense of what that general change is going to look like. But the absolute detail, we'll decide that later this month.
And the venue would be brilliant. And there has been already kind of, I think there was a choral group that performed there, Dylan and, mm-hmm. and Mayor, recently. And everybody said that was there that the acoustics are really good. So it'd be a nice little performing venue.
Well, I think one of the things that Councilmember Kozacik wanted to emphasize with the developer was that this could be a valuable community space that mm-hmm. could bring value to his whole property, and that he certainly wanted to bring a lot of community members in to see that community space. And he was effective in doing it. And so I think as a result, we will get as good a product as we can, given what the circumstances we started
with. It seems like the tenor of the discussion about this specific project really changed as things went along and got into the details. Things started pretty heated.
They did a whole lot
of screaming and yelling and, essentially threats about what could be done on both sides. And then once people actually sat down and, stared at some documents and had a couple cups of coffee with each other, things got a whole lot more reasonable.
Yeah, I'm not sure that when the developer unleashed a plan that showed a spa in the chapel, that was probably a good place to start. So we got through that one.
Sometimes when you negotiate, you start with the worst-case scenario.
We're a little bit over time, but I'm going to keep it just a minute or two here about economic development. Yeah. How did we do this year? Good year?
Yeah, it was a good year. I mean, it's never a good enough year, but it was a good year. The city ended up with a $29 million surplus. I have been there 7 years. This is the first time we ended with a surplus. My brethren on the council have all been there 11 or 12 years. This is the first time they saw a surplus. It was very nice not to have to start the budget conversation this year with, well, what are we cutting now? So the budget decision ultimately doesn't get made till May or June, but the preliminary plan is to take about, I believe, $6 million of that, and again, my numbers could be off by one or two, $6 million of that and put it in reserve. Our reserve funds are not what they should be because of the way things have been.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, so but that's helping that. Taking about $5 million of it and putting it into a fund that we hope to start self-insurance so that we can go to self-insurance. The county does that. A lot of government agencies do that.
For employee health insurance, as the county does, or general liability?
No, employee health insurance, okay. And then we took another $5 or $6 million and invested in a lot of technology that we've been deficient in just around the city. And then we took the last bit of money and we were able to give raises to the employees, 2% across the board, a Christmas bonus to everybody of, I think, about $1,500. And just like last year, how we were able to work with the police to get them good raises, we just completed that process with fire. So, you know, when you get down to the end of the budget again, I'm sure people will quarrel about some things. But overall, it's been a good year. And that's a reflection of two things. One, the fiscal responsibility we've shown, but also that the city as a whole is doing better.
All right, Mayor, thank you very much for joining us. Again, a happy Hanukkah season to you, and hope it's a good new year as well. We'll see you in the new year. Thank you.
Absolutely. And the same to both of you, Dylan, you too.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. We'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Pearl Harbor Day. Dylan Smith is with me in studio. We thank the mayor for his participation on our Friday Focus interview. Got a call. I think Ben Bueller Garcia checked in with us saying, Dylan, that Grant and Alvernon is badly flooded right now. And that's not a big surprise when it rains really hard. That's
intersection
is not
there.
And yeah, it's
I wanted to briefly rant, if I may.
Go ahead.
Because you do have a lot of listeners who are driving around. Mm-hmm. And please, folks, turn your lights on when it's raining like this.
Yes.
And you're cruising around town. So much safer. It's not so much that you can actually see better, but people can actually see you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, be a little bit more safe. Thank you.
Well, I try to, I just keep the lights on when I'm driving. Just feel that.
Not when you're parked, though, right?
No, not when I'm parked. That would drain my battery really big time. A couple of things, Dylan, before we talk a little bit about Pearl Harbor, and I do want to bring it up.
Yeah.
It's a very important day, and I do want to say about Joe Dreyfus, his passing. Joe had a show here on KVOI called The Visit for many years, and I first met him when I started the radio show over at a station called The Jolt here, and I was over there for a few months, and Joe had his show there originally, but Joe, I guess, could be characterized as the quintessential good old boy.
Indeed.
Yeah, there you go. And he used to refer to me as Wild Bill, and he would refer to anybody that wasn't born here as a pilgrim. And, you know, I'd say, Joe, I've been in town now 31 years, 4 years back in
not
the 60s. That's like 35 years, half of my life I've been in Tucson. But to Joe, I was the pilgrim from Chicago. But Joe, Wild Bill hopes you rest in peace.
Indeed.
There you go. Pearl Harbor Day, 15 medals of honor, 51 Navy crosses, 2008 Navy killed in action, 218 Army, 109 Marines, 68 civilians, because the attack certainly carried over into the city of Honolulu. And Pearl Harbor was just one of seven military installations, mainly on Oahu, that were hit.
Yeah, and some 900 sailors still lie entombed in the reason this has such a special connection with our state and the battleship, the USS Arizona.
Seeping oil every day, 24/7. The oil still coming out of what they called, it was the battle wagon Arizona, certainly the iconic battleship of the 40s. And, you know, I've traveled a lot, Dylan. You know, I've been pretty much all over the world. And I think one of the most moving experiences was standing there on the Arizona, you know, the memorial and looking out and seeing that oil still coming up.
There are certain places where you, you know, feel the weight of history and the resonance of, you know, specific moments. And I haven't had the opportunity to go there, but from what, you know, everyone says, that is indeed one of those sorts of places. And it seems, to my recollection, December 7th quite often ends up being a somber day in Tucson, weather-wise. And
I know,
again, we have a gray day.
Very much so.
Flags, appropriately enough, we're already flying at half staff. I think we have four different half staff orders in effect right now. The entire month for former President George H.W. Bush, of course, but today in particular for Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day, for the deputy U.S. Marshal who was recently killed. And also, it's the day of interment for former Congressman Ed Pastor. So we have our flags lowered for all of those things.
One more note about, you know, people ask me in my career, which is over 50 years, I've interviewed a lot of people, thousands and thousands of people, probably 5,000 alone here in Tucson. What was some of the, what interview was most memorable? Well, one of the most memorable was Brigadier General Ken Taylor. He ended his career as a Brigadier General, but in 1941, he and his buddy, George Welch, managed to, when the attack began at Wheeler Field, where's the nearest car? we're going over to the airstrip on the other side, north shore of Oahu that wasn't hit. And he made a call and say, get those planes ready. And they got up. They got up in the air. And Ken told me in the interview that I did on Arizona Illustrated, he is certain he, as he called it, flamed out four Japanese Zeros. He only got credit for two confirmed kills, but he said the two that he got the credit for crashed on the island. Mm-hmm. The two that he didn't get credit for went down in the ocean, but he got four, and there was a big effort, certainly in his home state of Oklahoma, for him to get the Medal of Honor. He did not. He got the Distinguished Service Cross and the Purple Heart, but that was just a great time just to talk with that man.
Yeah.
Okay, Dylan, TucsonSentinel.com is a nonprofit online news service, and folks can donate through the end of the year.
Exactly. Thank you again for bringing that up. Yes, we are your authentically local nonprofit independent news organization, and we really rely on the support we get from local individual donors and local small businesses. That's really our lifeblood. It's what keeps us going, lets us do what we do, digging into things. And through a really important program called NewsMatch, every gift that someone gives to us through the end of the year will be matched dollar per dollar for up to $1,000. And that includes people who subscribe. And if you sign up to give us, $20 or $25 a month, NewsMatch, which is funded by a number of national foundations like the Knight Foundation, the Democracy Fund, they will match everything you're going to give us next year. So not just what you sign up to give us in December, but through all of 2019. So that's, really tremendously important for us to be able to continue our work digging into things and holding people like the mayor accountable.
I am way over time, but Ben Bueller Garcia, host of the American Warrior program on Saturday at noon, is on the live line with a quick comment about Pearl Harbor. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, Bill, thank you so much. Just want to remind folks to not forget those who continue to serve. One of the best pictures I've seen today is our very own USS Tucson, the fast attack submarine passing in front of the USS Arizona Memorial, and it's really, really, really touching. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. We'll be listening to your program tomorrow on KVOI at noon. And that's going to do it for the roundtable portion. We've got Matt Russell coming up with Weekend Watch. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Mona's Danish Bakery. Check it out, monasdanishbakery.com. Now is the time to order all of your Christmas goodies. You don't have to order them, actually. Just stop by and see Steve and the team up on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They've got all the boxes of Christmas cookies already out there. And, of course, Mona's is the home of the Danish Kringle. And Danish Kringle and Christmas, really, they go together. Now's the time to check out Mona's Danish Bakery. It's Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Only a three-hour drive over to Silver City. A lot of folks have time off over the holidays. How about a road trip over to Silver City? A lot to do in historic Silver City. And, of course, the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument always makes a great outing. Just north of the city, go to southwestnewmexico.org. The complete listing of great places to stay and all of those recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Here he is, the longtime host of Weekend Watch, Inside Tucson business, food and beverage columnist, award-winning Tucson publicist, Mr. Matt Russell.
How are you, Bill?
Doing very well, and I understand the lead item is one of our legacy sponsors here, Vero Amore.
Yeah, your friends and mine, of course. Vero Amore, can you believe they are celebrating their 10th anniversary of their original location there in Dove Mountain? I can't believe it's been a decade, but they are spending the entire month of December celebrating in style. They have 10 items on the menu that they are featuring for only $10 a piece. They're extending the special beyond Weekend Watch a little bit. $10 Tuesdays will get you a classic margarita pizza and a glass of wine for only $10. Now, this special is only good at their Dove Mountain location. You're going to start seeing some fun changes over there as well, like a larger bar, some additional patio seating. But I say happy 10th anniversary to Vero Amore. I've always been one of my favorites.
Oh, my favorite pizza in town. And, of course, the reopening of a landmark restaurant in South Tucson.
Yeah, absolutely. Back in April, a fire did some pretty bad damage to the iconic Misha's restaurants on South 4th Avenue, and crews went to work right away to kind of clean up the mess, which, of course, meant that they had to close the restaurant. Well, 8 months later, Misha's is open once again. You can expect heavy traffic this weekend as their fans return for more of their Misha's favorites. I always go for the combo plate number 19, and you can be certain that I'll be getting one this weekend. Misha's is open for business.
Hey, I want to put a plug in for kind of an anniversary show you're doing on your radio show, kind of wrapping things up for a while, at Jonathan's Cork.
Yeah, you know, I've been on the air for a decade. I'm actually doing a live broadcast, special two-hour commercial-free broadcast tomorrow at Jonathan's Court from 5 to 7. We're going to be talking to a lot of the culinary and cocktail characters in this community, but the hallmark, I think, moment for the show is going to be Jonathan is going to be revealing a cocktail that he has named after me, Bill. It's called the Russell Rye Catcher.
What?
With rye whiskey, maple syrup, a mocha oatmeal stout, and a toffee candy garnish. I'll have Jonathan tell the story about what it is about whiskey, beer, and candy that makes a great cocktail to be named after me. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be having my very first Russell Rye Catcher tomorrow at Jonathan's at 5 o'clock. It's going to be a blast.
How's that sound to you, Dylan Smith?
You know, You posted a photo of this on Facebook, and just looking at that magnificent photo made my mouth water a little bit. It looks pretty tasty, so hopefully hopefully it tastes as good as it photographs.
Okay.
Yeah, a little sip of the cocktail, a little lick of the toffee.
And Matt, what's cocktail, quickly, Matt, before you go, Inside Tucson Business column.
Yeah, holiday pop-ups from a culinary and cocktail side all across Southern Arizona. That story pops up in this week's edition of Inside
Have a great weekend. Thank you, Matt.
Adios.
Cheers, guys.
That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of my friend Dylan Smith, with me in studio here, Bob Dio on the other side of the glass, everybody here at Bustos Media and KVOI who support this program. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend.